Really, the collector, that is your most valuable asset in the collection space. Their ability to connect with somebody in a meaningful way so that they can work together on solving a problem like, you know, a delinquent loan, that's the crux of it. And I think that sometimes the technology ends up taking up all the foreground, but really, again, that individual, they have the most power to both maximize the return on the conversation with a member, as well as maximizing the return on whatever technology you invest in.
Welcome to Collecting Thoughts, CNR Software's new podcast. We are your one-stop shop for digestible industry news, anecdotes, and advice as told by the boots-on-the-ground industry leaders and subject matter experts. We'll be covering topics across the collection space, technology, and finance. I'm your host, Christina, and I'm happy to have you join us. Today's guest is Stephen Epling, a collection senior leader with nearly two decades in the industry. He loves strategy and problem solving and is passionate about the credit union and cooperative movement. He also runs a campground business with his wife and enjoys cliff diving, reading, and good conversation. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Great to be here.
Great. So for today's discussion, I wanted to talk to you and pick your brain about the evolution of the collections strategy within credit unions. But before we jump into that topic, let's start about how did you get started in this space? How did you find yourself working in credit unions and specifically in the collections industry?
You bet. I actually started out in the banking side with Wells Fargo. My degree's in psychology, and I was teaching English language learning. And so it's kind of out of left field to go into the collection space. But I had friends working at on the Spanish team at Wells Fargo, and I'm fluent in Spanish. And so I was really encouraged by them to come over and to try it. And so I finally made the switch in my last year of college. And really enjoyed it. Found that I got a lot out of helping people to find solutions to problems that they didn't think they could solve. And so I quickly got into training there at Wells Fargo and helped get other collectors at a much higher capacity to be able to reach that hand out and lift somebody else up. So that was really great. And then I went into management with more of a high risk company that was a lot of very challenging situations with their customers. I kind of got a little bit burnt out, you know, doing that really high risk credit and also just being in that an organization that was just all about maximizing profit and all that. So I got into with credit unions, really excited to start with a cooperative movement because I've known a lot about cooperatives and members of a lot of cooperatives, really love that model. And so it naturally fit for me to go into that credit union space. So I took my next job in Oregon with OnPoint. And anyway, from there, I've moved up through those ranks into executive positions and just love the strategy of it. And also that we get to have a big impact on our community and their ability to get financing.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a great overview and leads us perfectly into our discussion today. So from, you know, being in the collections industry for basically 20 years and kind of seeing, you know, you got a few different looks at it, landing where you are now in the credit union space. How do you feel like from when you started to now, the collections industry has evolved, whether it's in credit unions or just in general?
Oh, there's so much. You know, we can look at, I mean, really, if you go back even a little bit further, collections was largely ignored in most industries. And it was, maybe it was there, but it wasn't much focus being put onto it. And it was really the banks that first started to see the value in investing in collections and putting a lot of emphasis on the training and the structure around the, you know, a real collections team and just even notice it. And I think credit unions were a little slower to catch on, honestly, to the value of the collections team. So what I've seen is more focus on it, more involvement. You'll see collections represented in leadership and C-suite level conversations a lot more now. And because of that, there's more resources being put into it. So we went from, you know, you might be collecting off of either actual paper documents, paper files, or maybe off of a spreadsheet or a list to, hey, there's a lot of really enhanced collection systems that help support dialers, that provide connectors to bankruptcy like Pacer or other tools that give you connectors on the collateral protection side, on the repossession side with, say, RDN or auto IMS. And so there's a lot that's going on with the technology, but I think what's more interesting even is the philosophy, that there's conversations around it, that how is the right way to go about this? How do we, you know, maintain the heart of what we're trying to do for our member, or if it's in the banking industry or your customer? And so I really like that you see more leadership training, more collection training. You see organizations, it used to be organizations wouldn't really take part in any of that, any training or advancement you wanted to do in the collection space. You kind of had to do it as the leader of that team. And so if your leader didn't bring that to the table, you know, you didn't get it. But now you see organizations putting more emphasis and resources into making sure that the core and the values of the credit union are represented in that collection work. So I think that's really exciting as much as the technology.
Yeah, absolutely. And how you mentioned you're really passionate about the strategy part. I mean, just summing up what you just said, now there is a strategy, right? Like, more senior leaders are talking about the collections industry. You don't have to rely on just that team lead to think of it as something important. Like, now it's an understanding that, hey, this is another facet of the credit life cycle that needs to have just as much attention as any other areas, like an upsell area or acquisition. You mentioned that you think the banks really spearheaded this and the credit unions were a little late to follow. Can you pinpoint in your past something that was like the pivotal moment of when credit unions started paying attention to this? Or was it just more so organic with, like, they're doing it, so now we have to do it too?
I think a lot of it is organic, and the fact that you see a lot of banking people moving into the credit union space, and there's good and bad with that, right? It's a mixed bag, and people perceive both good and bad. But one of the good things that they brought is that metrics mentality, you know, the idea of, hey, we need to measure what's being done. And that's not almost any team out there. What you find is that they might be nervous about metrics at first, but they ultimately embrace them and really get the benefit of being able to see, oh, I can witness every day or week, month, however it's measured out, I can see the impact of my work or my progress, you know, how I've gotten better and improved and been able to help more people. Because really, those metrics, if they're done right, are going to be a reflection of how effective those conversations with the collector and the debtor or member, however you want to put it, how effective those conversations have been. So I think bringing that metrics mindset and that, hey, we should, and that more analytical mindset from the banks into the credit union space has been one of the plus sides. We could talk sometime about downsides or concerns, but certainly one of the real benefits is that analytical and metrics-based mindset. And I think that's helped enhance so much in the collection space. I don't think we'd see the technology improvements if it wasn't for that, being able to see and, you know, have people over who are savvy and know what products have been available, say, in the banking industry. So I think it's sort of a mix of it being just organic and those products are out there and there's, you know, people presenting them to the credit unions, along with that the people they brought in have a lot of these ideas and knowledge and acumen.
Yeah, a data-driven mindset, right? Like, making decisions. I know I've talked to a handful of credit union executives on the podcast at this point. It's very relationship-based, but there is also, you know, you have to make decisions on data when you can look at a portfolio as a whole, right, and figure out, okay, this group of people reacted really well, so we know we can apply that to another group of people that looks similar.
Oh, absolutely. And especially on, like, say, on a quality monitoring, even if it's not just numbers based, from a quality monitoring standpoint, being able to see, oh, do we have an individual we need to work with? Or are we seeing that we have a systemic training issue? Because across the board, we're struggling to help members in this way or another way. And so having that vision, and that's really what the metrics do, metrics and monitoring, give you some vision and some understanding of whether or not you have something at an individual level or across the board that's more systemic. So I love the ability to be able to extrapolate from those numbers. Oh, how do I put this into the real world and address it in the real world and help the team to be more successful?
Speaking of, since you mentioned internal, I'm wondering, you've talked about technology so far, but Do you think there's a specific kind of technology, whether it's for the members or for internally the staff, that credit union space is starting to adapt more that can help keep them competitive? Again, whether that's competitive compared to the digital banks from a member perspective or competitive from a staff perspective of like, this is going to make my job easier kind of thing.
Oh, absolutely. I'm really big on fundamentals. And so that's where I like to start. I always say, you know, you should fix your swing before you get a new club, you know?
Oh, that's a good saying. I like that one.
Yeah. And so technology is only as good as the people implementing it and utilizing it. But if you've got your fundamentals down, and that's not to say don't, you know, completely ignore technology until you have everything else perfect. What I think is very exciting and very useful that in particular in credit unions, we sometimes frown upon is the dialer. And there's certainly wrong ways to do dialers. We had a vendor that we had to address, huge vendor, like gigantic. You'd think that they'd have everything down pat, right? But that's not always how it works. And they were just letting that dialer spin. And so if it's implemented incorrectly, it'll look like it's doing a lot. It'll be like, look how many calls we made. But you want those calls to be effective. You want them to be connected as often as possible. And if they're not connected, for it to move to the next one quickly. So dialer technology has come a long way, and you don't need anymore a whole team of people. Once upon a time, they needed, you know, a team of people to run a dialer effectively so that you don't have the problems. But there is really good technology out there. I think it gets ignored from credit unions a lot of times because, it doesn't feel very friendly. However, you can, that's about how you set it up. If you put the time and thought and energy, pick the right vendor, you can set up a dialer so that there isn't big hold times and they're not waiting all this on there feeling rejected. Please hold while we connect you to, you know, that's a terrible experience. But that technology should not be ignored because there's often misuses of it. Similarly, I would say that texting is something that definitely is getting embraced more in the collection space, but there's so much potential there. People just, as you know, they're far more likely to see a text and then read it and take it in than to go and listen to a voicemail. And especially if they're going to listen to the voicemail, they might just hear the first part of it and then, you know, erase it. Whereas a text, they're going to see that full message. And the message is really important. It's, hey, you there's this problem. We're here to help you. And so we want to see as many people at least be aware of that as possible. So texting is another one that I think bang for buck, really huge. And there's other tertiary items that I think are helpful. But if you're looking at some of the big game changers, I think a dialer and texting gets the message out there the fastest and most efficiently. But yeah, definitely should not shy away from technology. Ask all the right questions. Make sure you ask a lot of questions and that you really do scrutinize and do your due diligence. But it definitely should be looked into. I think sometimes the culture of the organization can put up a wall there and that should get taken down.
Yeah, we like to say a lot, you know, especially when it comes to AI, right? Because AI is now the new, not even new, AI is a very big hot button topic right now. But we like to say you want to operationalize, right? You don't just want to adopt AI or any kind of technology it relates to. You want to figure out exactly what value you want to get out of this technology so that it can serve your purpose. Whereas like you were saying with an automated dialer, sure, it's great if you look at the data, you know, from one side. We have so many calls, but how is it contributing to effective and meaningful calls, especially for something like a credit union?
Oh, I love how you said that. And with AI, absolutely. Like you look at it, it's in its infancy and it'll ultimately probably go very far. But like you said, there's a lot of people embracing the idea of it or wanting it. And it's like, yeah, but how do we operationalize it? How do we really make it effective? I think there will be a point where we can see it do a lot of the easy decision-making on even being able to put together payment plans, set people up so they can just online, you know, work through a chat and resolve an issue without even talking to somebody. I think we can get to there on the real baseline items, but from what we've seen on the product so far, they're not quite even there yet. So it's got a ways to go to be super effective, but they have certainly with chatbots and other things that are simple and can deliver information quickly and without human intervention, that's already a really good start.
Pivoting a little bit to the customer loyalty side, I wanted to get your thoughts on this since customer loyalty is so important in credit unions. And since we were talking about strategy and the importance and how that's grown more in collections is having a strategy, right? Not just being something that's there. So when it comes to customer loyalty within collections, do you think there's a bigger emphasis or challenge on that strategy since things like digital banks and challenger banks are becoming more competitive in this space?
It definitely is coming to the fore. And there are more, even not just the digital banking, but there are several different financial models to cater to individual needs now than there were 5-10 years ago. So you're going to have to come up with more strategies to deliver to a broader base if you want to cast that wider net. Now, sometimes the strategy is the opposite of that, to say, hey, we're not going to cast a wide net. We're going to cater to one specific group. And so I think you really do have to identify, well, what is our goal? Who are we trying to serve? And each financial institution has to be able to identify and define that before you can really develop a strategy behind, well, how do we deliver? Which delivery systems do we use so that that group, or because we're trying to cast a wider net, so that we can help multiple groups to be able to have a good experience at the credit union? And I think that's broader across all spectrums. In the collection space, I think that's where the expanding, especially if you want to cast a wider net, expanding how you communicate with people and training more, putting more emphasis on that, really the collector, that is your most valuable asset in the collection space. Their ability to connect with somebody in a meaningful way so that they can work together on solving a problem like, you know, a delinquent loan. That's the crux of it. And I think that sometimes the technology ends up taking up all the foreground, and that can sometimes get neglected. But really, again, that individual that you have collecting, they have the most power to both maximize the return on the conversation with a member, as well as maximizing the return on whatever technology you invest in.
Yeah, absolutely. The collector, I like how you said that the collector is your most powerful tool, because at the end of the day, you know, we want technology that's going to help make life easier for the customer or the member, but it's the collector that helps make sure that it all moves smoothly, right? Like, they're the ones that are still making sure that you have that humanization side of things with the collections process, so that they don't feel like they're just being moved through some workflow or just getting a bunch of solicitations, whether it's through email or checks or anything. Like, they're the bread and butter to making sure that it's still a personalized experience at the end of the day.
Yeah. And so even if that's a text message and it's not, you know, over the phone, or if it's, you know, through email or any other means, their ability to connect with somebody on a personal level absolutely enhances their ability to cure an account, which is what the goal is in our world, is bringing those accounts current. So yeah, I think expanding into that, as well as making sure that you have, so when we talk about strategy, you know, it's so much more, goes so much more beyond just collection training and tools. It's also, what does the structure look like? Do you need loan counselors? Are you making sure that people have somebody dedicated who can restructure their loan if needed, or work with the lending department on a more creative solution? So having the structure set up so that you know, hey, are we streamlining? Is the collector the one size fits all? Is it cradle to grave? Is that the best model? Maybe for a smaller outfit? Or are we beginning to divide up those roles more and have people specialized? And there's advantages and disadvantages to both. Also, again, depending on who are you trying to serve? What is your focus in the finance sector? But the fact is, that's changed. That strategy and the discussions around these items, those are what are happening more and are essential if we're going to continue to compete with all of these other great financial options that people have out there.
Stephen, this was so great having you today on the podcast. Is there anything else that you want to add that we didn't touch on before we sign off?
To me, the most important thing you can have and most essential asset you can have is a team that really finds meaning in their work, that really feels both the weight and responsibility, but also the joy, you know, helping people to solve difficult problems in their lives. And I think that's one of the great blessings or benefits of being in the collection space, is that we really get the opportunity to lift a lot of people up each day. So I would just say, lean into that, heavily along with the structure, strategy, metrics, and technology.
Great. Yes. Great message to sign off on. I appreciate your time. Have a good one.
Likewise, Christina.